We are back. Football is back. Welcome back, everybody. Just wanted to pop on real quick and just give a quick little breakdown, obviously, of preseason game number one. There's only three this year, thank God. But just wanted to go through, talk about some guys who maybe popped in Saturday's game. Obviously, hit on Trey Lance here, and I've got a few images, I guess, of watching kind of film on him that I thought were really interesting. So let's jump right to it. So a few things about preseason, obviously, to remember. I know everybody knows this, but just a good reminder that, you know, nobody's game planning here, right? Or studying other teams or their schemes or anything like that. Everyone's playing their playbook, playing pretty vanilla. They want to just get guys out there, run pretty basic stuff, and see how they react and play. So in my opinion, the one thing that I'm always looking for in these preseason games is guys who just pop, right? Guys who jump off the screen, who flash, constantly making plays. You know, they don't always have to be touchdowns or sacks or interceptions, but who are guys who are just always showing up, right? Those are guys who are just cutting it loose and letting it fly. And there's a few guys for me that did that. So first one up, Trey Sermon. Look, I called this one on the last pod. I think Trey Sermon's going to be the best back on this team pretty early in the season. He's big, strong, fast. He's got good vision. And he can catch the ball to the backfield, right? What's unique about him is his footwork, man. He's got a Derrick Henry element to him. He's not as big or physically imposing as Derrick Henry, but he just finds a way to get through tiny holes and he can cut it up. And when he gets going, watch out. So I think, behind an offensive line that was missing maybe their two best players, he's going to be pretty awesome to watch this year. I very confident say he leads the team in rushing for the Niners this year. Player number two that jumped out for me, Jonas Griffin. He's number 53, plays linebacker, second-year guy, I believe, out of Indiana State. Talk about a guy who flashes, right? He was all over the place in that game early on, making plays. He was around the interception. He almost had one himself. Third downs, he's making plays in the backfield. He's just always around. I just was like, what? 53, just you couldn't help but like not watch that guy. Because he was always on the screen. So, next guy, God, I'm going to pronounce his name wrong. DeMondre Lenore, number 38. So, he had that interception early on, obviously. That propels him into being like, wow, like that guy pops. But he seemed to always be in like good position. When you're watching him, he turns his hips, he runs with guys, he utilizes the sideline really well. Like, I think this kid, for someone who was kind of talked about as like being more of an athlete, and was kind of raw, I thought it was almost kind of the opposite watching him. So that was really good to see. If he can contribute early on, I mean, that's going to be awesome. Kevin Givens, number 90, I felt like he was in the backfield and disrupting plays really early on in this game. I know the Chiefs didn't play a lot of their offensive linemen very long, but again, you can only play against who's given to you, right? Like, you can't choose that. So you got to make the most of it, and I felt like he was just always around the ball, especially in that first quarter. This next guy has been talked about quite a bit the last couple days, but Juwan Jennings, I thought, looked really sharp. He looks more explosive to me this year. Last year, I thought he'd be very much a bigger, like more possession receiver kind of guy, and I'm not saying he's Tyreek Hill all of a sudden, but he just looks like he's got another burst that he didn't have last year. So he looked really good. I think he's going to make a strong push to be, probably receiver four on this team, possibly five, but I think he's going to be someone to look out for here as we get down cuts. And the last guy that just jumped out at me, Talanoa Hufanga, man, I don't know why, I just have a man crush on this guy. All he does is hit, play super fast. He closes like a freight train. There was a play in the second quarter when there was a receiver who caught a ball and was kind of crossing over the field, and everybody, he was kind of losing steam chasing the guy, and he just came flying out of nowhere and made a huge tackle. I understand he may be limited in coverage early on, but he's going to see the field a lot this season, not only special teams, but I think he's going to play quite a bit on defense, and they're going to find packages for this kid because even though he's smaller, you can play him up by the line of scrimmage because of how physical he is. So I'm very curious to see how the Niners and D'Amico Ryans uses this kid. But I'm stoked. I love watching him play early on. Cool. So those are some of the guys that jumped off the page for me and jumped off the screen, I guess I should say. Hitting on Trey Lance real quick. So Just as I said a few weeks ago, right? This kid's going to be really good. All the reports are he's crazy explosive and makes all these amazing plays in practice. If you, you know, follow Grant Cohn, like he's, you know, he is Mahomes already. But look, he's young, guys. Like, he's going to make some great plays because he's just so talented. Like, his poise, his athleticism, his arm strength jump off the screen. But there's going to be some throws and some things that he does that are, you know, he needs to clean up. And it's just simply he needs to play. He needs to see live bullets in games. He needs to see schematically what teams are going to throw at him. But the kid makes some fantastic plays. Obviously, there is the Sherfield touchdown at the beginning of the second quarter, I believe. That was just, wow, like a wow play, right? Like, that's what everybody's talking about. That's the ESPN top 10, whatever. I thought another throw that he made was that was fantastic was he was backed up in his own end zone. And he hit Warner on like a 30-yard gain off of play action. You know, that's a really tough throw to make a quarterback do and execute backed up in your own end zone like that. And he hit the guy right on the money. So I thought that was awesome. Another play that I actually grabbed here that I thought was awesome was this play right here. Middle of the second quarter, you know, he has really good protection, which is obviously key. But the big thing that jumped out to me here when you pause it, he's releasing this ball and anticipating this guy being open as he's making that break. This right here is a huge indicator that this kid's going to be a stud. This is asking this kid to make a timing throw, anticipate. Now, obviously, it's short of the first down sticks and markers. Again, there's things that this team needs to clean up. But this throw right here is just not an easy play to make. Like, he's only been in the playbook a couple weeks, truly practicing with it. And he's hitting guys in stride, perfect on the money throw. And he's not giving the defensive back any time to make a break on the ball because he's releasing it before the break is even happening. So I thought this play really jumped out at me as something that was like, whoa, like pretty special stuff. But again, like I talked about, there's going to be some things that Trey Lance needs to clean up too, right? The one thing, you know, he missed a few throws, yeah, whatever. But the one thing that jumped out at me was this play, one of the sacks he had taken. You know, when you pause the film and you kind of look at it, you can see here there's six guys that are coming for Kansas City, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And then you've got a skeleton protection. So just five guys protecting. When you look at this, right, like your instinct has to be immediately to recognize this guy coming off the edge, number one, and know that Gallman is going to be open, right? That linebacker is who was on him. He's blitzing. You got to hit this hot route, move the chains or whatever. Just live to fight another down versus taking the sack. So this is just one thing that, you know, again, he had a really good game. He is as advertised, right? Not worried really about him at all. He just needs to play more. He needs to see these things in action. He needs to be able to relate the playbook to what he's seen and what teams are going to be throwing at him. But I think the one thing just to consider, and I'm sure this is what's going through Kyle's head, is like this is kind of going on without teams even prepping or trying to screw him up necessarily. That's all he's going to get early on. Teams are going to bring as much confusion as possible to the table and force him to read these things and make plays. So can he do it? I definitely think so. But, you know, I don't know if Kyle's going to roll the dice with that on week one or if he's just going to say, hey, take a deep breath. Let's make sure this kid fully understands the playbook. So then when it's time to prepare, time to read, time to do these things, he doesn't have to worry about the playbook and that. It's very simple at that point. So, we'll see what happens. Like, I'm hopeful, right? Like, I think this kid's awesome and he's got huge upside. But this is kind of what I was saying the other day is like, you know, don't freak out if he's not starting week one, right? Like, there are some things that this kid needs to clean up, and he will. Like, it just takes time. So, last thing I'll finish on, huge week ahead here with the Chargers and joint practices all week. Obviously, you know, there's live sessions, scrimmage, 7-on-7, but it's in a controlled environment. So, coaches, I think, prefer everything I've heard of these joint practices more than the preseason games because you can set up situations and identify specific guys you want to watch in drills or one-on-ones or whatever. But it's going to be a big week for Trey Lance. It's going to be a big week for the rookies, guys who are looking to make the team who are maybe right on the border. This is the week where I think it's going to happen, right? I don't think there's many roster spots that are going to be determined based on, you know, preseason game number 3 in the fourth quarter, right? Like, this is going to be the week where they start to really lock in and identify who's going to be on this team and who's not and what role they're going to carve out. So, yeah, hopefully I should have another pod coming out towards the end of this week. If not, maybe I'll just hold on to it, talk about practice in the game when it's all said and done next weekend. So, yeah, don't forget to follow me on social media. Right here, there, here, here. I'm at VinnyLevine29 on Twitter, as well as, you know, don't forget to subscribe, rate, review, follow me on YouTube, podcast. Let's collaborate and let's build this thing up. So until next time, peace.